Hey, what's good, everyone? Ghazali Aurelio here, new episode of the Gomluku podcast. And, well, first of all, Happy New Year. And on this episode, I thought I'd shake it up a little bit, giving you a little bit more nugget-sized podcast episodes, kind of more like thoughts. So it's basically me recording ideas, thoughts, more in a documenting mindset than a, like what you're used to in terms of the conversations and meetings that I have. I heard you. A number of you have sent me through DM, basically, I want to be able to, go through a podcast episode while I'm on the toilet. So here it is. Let me know what you think. And, let's go.
This is the Gomluku Podcast.
So on this episode, what I wanted to do was actually to tackle a topic that is both intriguing and complex, and it has been mind-boggling to a number of Indonesian people for quite a while, actually. Just to give an idea, a few years back, a colleague of mine was gearing up for a big meeting he was about to have in Paris. I cannot remember what this particular, what this meeting was about, but definitely he was all set on a mission, he told me. He was on a mission to sway France towards fully respecting the rights of Indigenous peoples. Now, keep in mind, yes, France did vote in favor of the rights of Indigenous peoples in 2007, and they also recommitted to the UN Declaration in 2014. Fast forward to today, you can see that they weren't throwing a parade about the collective rights of Indigenous peoples. And I remember telling him, it's my friend, it's not that simple. The layers of history you are up against are huge. And, in a way is that he was kind of overestimating his ability to sway other people, but when it comes to history, and if it's a huge number of layers that you have to go through, then it's going to be practically impossible. So that's exactly what I want to talk to you about on this episode. If you peel back those layers and see why despite modern progress, why countries like France and the United Kingdom still seem to have one foot in the respect and implementation of collective rights of Indigenous peoples and the other foot not. So if you look at it, so if you dive into that rabbit hole, and I'll promise you I won't go super deep into the rabbit hole. But if you dive in, both and the UK and France have this old school monarchy in their DNA. Kings, queens, guillotines, and everything else. And in that world, it's pretty black and white. You have the ruler and then everyone else. So there's no room for anything in between, like communities or collective rights. Now, you probably understand that Indigenous rights are all about recognizing diverse cultures and traditions of Indigenous peoples as a collective. But back in the monarchy days, that concept would have been, a head scratcher. Different groups with their own rights in a kingdom? Unlikely. So if you fast forward to today, the UK and France, obviously they moved on from crowns, thrones, and guillotines. But the past has a way of hanging around, if you look at it. So if you look at it to the UN or at it from a UN context, pushing for the collective rights of Indigenous peoples, these countries, they get a bit edgy when you mention the collective rights of Indigenous peoples. Because it's like they see it as rocking the boat, messing with the old one nation, one identity vibe that they've got going on. And in the UN, this historical backdrop it sheds a light on why these countries might push back on recognizing collective rights. They're worried. They fear that this could shake up their long-held view of a unified national identity. So why I'm sharing this with you is not just because it's not just about today's politics. It is about centuries of a mindset as a monarchy that has influenced how they see the world. So what I wanted to give you as a like main takeaway, the reluctance of countries like France and the UK to fully embrace the collective rights of Indigenous peoples, it's not this current policy. It is a shadow of the royal past still hanging around in modern times. So understanding this, you probably see why my colleague would face huge challenge in Paris. I didn't ask like how it went, but it's not just about changing a policy. It is about shifting a deep-seated historical perspective that they have about themselves and how they can maintain themselves in a world that is super globalized at this point. So today, 2024, where rights and recognition are front and center, remembering the historical context is key. Now, I'm not saying that you should like, all right, check, I won't do anything about it anymore. I'm sharing this with you so that you understand that France and the UK, they're not monarchies in the old sense, but their history still colors their approach to collective rights and national identity. So, again, coming back to it, it's history can be, let me rephrase that. History is not a tale of the past. See this as a guide towards understanding the present of a country or certain countries, and through that helps you understand their positions. Now, like I said, should you accept it as an Indigenous peoples? Absolutely not. You know, that's why we're here, to ensure that the implementation of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Should you accept it? No. But it is the reality that we have to work with. So as you are, and this is what I assume, when you start your lobbying process for the Universal Periodic Review or Human Rights Council or anywhere else, or climate change, biodiversity, and you're like mapping out states or countries that you want to talk to, the last thing you want to do is to use one paper and then send it out and then hope for the best. Now, I'm giving you this information so that you can actually tailor your message so that it can move the needle with that particular country. So when it comes to historical context in connection to UK and France, whatever your position is, tailor it towards those countries so they can help you move the needle. So that is a little bit like what I wanted to talk to you about on this particular episode. Let me know what you think and hopefully catch you on the next episode of the Go Maluku podcast. Thank you so much.